Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. After being diagnosed with bone cancer, Dana Vons refused to own his cancer and instead triumphed over the disease. In tandem with this goal, he recently joined 109 of his colleagues from Bristol-Myers Squibb in riding 225 miles each as part of the V Foundation's Coast to Coast for Cancer ride. We recently spoke with Dana about his cancer journey and why he decided to participate in the ride.
So Dana, to start, can you just tell us a little bit about your journey with bone cancer?
Yeah, I can tell you it was a surprise to me about 10 years ago with regards to the diagnosis. I never thought that I would have, you know, ever had cancer for that, you know, in any regard. But for the diagnosis of bone cancer, it was definitely a little unnerving. But I just knew that if there was a way to be able to get through this and help inspire some others along the way, then I was all for it. And I took this on head first and try to overcome this challenge the best that I could. And here I am 10 years later, just completing the Coast to Coast for Cancer bike ride, which is something that I never thought I'd be able to do, especially even just riding a bicycle in the position that I would be in on a consistent basis, putting that stress on the area where I had this the surgery with this bone cancer. It was a concern, but now I was strong enough to be able to get through it, and I'm very, very proud to have been able to complete it.
Great. And so, before we get a little bit farther into the race, so what kind of led to your diagnosis? Was there any, like, pain or anything like that, or just routine checkup?
No, there was, it felt like I pulled a muscle in my neck, actually. That was what was the initial... Something was going on, going wrong here, and over the course of time, things just got progressively worse. Basically, in essence, the vertebrae was getting eaten by the cancer, and therefore putting stress on the nerve endings that controlled the movement in my hands and in my arms, and it just got progressively worse and worse and worse, to the point where, you know, my chest would be very painful. Because the area where the bone cancer took place, in essence, is connected to the very first rib near the collarbone. So, from that perspective, everything from there south always felt out of whack. And then, obviously, the night sweats started happening, the malaise started happening, all the different associated things with that of cancer started to take place. And I was diagnosed officially on October 15th, 2009, with plasmacytoma. And we began the process of healing and surgery and stabilization and all associated things at that point.
Okay. And so I know you said you were surprised, but what exactly ran through your mind when you actually heard the words that you have cancer?
First thing it said was, why me? And I just didn't understand the whole process. I mean, here I am, a younger individual at the time, hearing about this diagnosis, and what went through my mind was, okay, I've got people to live for, I've got a family to provide for, I've got things to do and overcome, and I am not going to let this stop me. I just need to know why, and when I realized why this was taking place, and the process of what took place, I was ready to put together, you know, my whole team. To help support me throughout this process, and I'm thankful to have been able to overcome, obviously, and continue to get the message out about, you know, cancer and helping people just not own the process, not own cancer. You know, I never intended for me to internalize cancer. My goal was to say, in essence, and I've used this ever since then, was I've never claimed or owned cancer, ever. I've never said my cancer. And with that was just a psychological thing to help me get over the hump of being diagnosed with it and get back to some level of normalcy.
Definitely. And so with that, how did you learn about the Coast to Coast ride, and what made you want to participate?
Wow, this is a great one. I was informed by an executive here at Bristol Myers. Just told my story to this person after meeting with them and some other field-based colleagues of mine one evening here in Los Angeles. And the next month, I was getting a phone call from this person asking me specifically, hey, I can't get your story out of my head as it pertains to your journey with cancer. And I would be honored if you would consider riding in the Coast to Coast for Cancer bike ride. And at the time, I knew a little bit about it, but I didn't know that much because I'm in a different division than our oncology division. And so, therefore, I'm not always made aware of a lot of things that take place across the whole enterprise of the organization. But when I started to look into it a little bit, I shared back with my family and said, you know, if I have your commitment, as I've been asked by this executive to consider doing this bike ride, if I have your commitment to support me, I'll definitely do it. And I got their support, and my wife and son were behind me the whole way through. They knew that there was going to be a major time element and commitment from a training perspective. They knew that it was going to be a little bit taxing on me, but they knew that they were going to be patient with this whole process, and they have been supportive all the way through. And so, again, after having been asked about doing it, and when I was committed to doing it, there was no stopping me from doing it. I was definitely going to complete this task all the way through.
And so, can you tell us, I know you had just finished, but kind of leading up to the event, what was running through your mind?
Another great question. Anxiety, a little nervousness. Can I actually complete this? I mean, you could say that all the way up until the point of now you got to go and make it happen. And when I was out there with my other colleagues, going up those hills and needing some support and some energy, you know, I would look up or I would look at a name on someone's shirt or even think about, you know, the names that are on my shirt that I was riding on behalf of. That really propelled me to get up every single obstacle that was in front of us. And I could tell you that having been a cancer survivor thus far and knowing what it is that I was riding, who I was riding for, there was no way I was going to stop. You know, I had to do it on behalf of them. I had to do it on behalf of myself. And I knew that if I can complete this, then that would be a triumph over cancer for me and for those that I was riding for, whether I was riding for them in honor of or in support of, you know, what they're going through currently right now. So it was really just more of an inspiration for me to get through this process. And I knew that if I could do it, and those that are still here that are currently fighting cancer, they can overcome anything that they can put their minds to.
Absolutely.
And that was a major goal for me.
Great. And so after all was said and done, how did it feel to finish, and what was crossing your mind even when you crossed that finish line?
Wow, it was exhilarating. I mean, to have completed 200 miles, to have climbed over 10,000 feet, to have sat on a bicycle saddle for 14 hours, to have realized that all of the training leading up to this point now had come to a conclusion was exhilarating. It was something that I'll never forget for sure.
Definitely. No easy feat, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. So with that, obviously this kind of means a lot to you, but why do you think events like this are so important, especially for the cancer community?
I think it's important because we've got to ensure that we're staying in front of this thing called cancer. And if we can continue to rally local support, national support, do the fundraising efforts from the grassroots level, and to raise funds for organizations such as the V Foundation in partnership and doing things like we're doing right now, it's the right thing to do. And we have to find ways to be able to come up with solutions for cancer, whether they be cures, whether they be better treatments. We just have to ensure that we stay out there because the next person that may be diagnosed is going to rely on that. They're going to need that. And our kids and our kids' kids need us to be doing this today. it is very important that we're not just doing this just for now, but we're doing it for tomorrow. And that's why I think it's critically important for us to continue to do the resources necessary that can help someone when diagnosed at some point in their career and in their lives know that they have a solution for what they've got going on. And so I think that's really critical for us to continue to do what we're doing.
Absolutely. And so one way that I like to kind of bring everything together when it comes to interviews, what would you say is your biggest piece of advice for another individual who's facing a cancer diagnosis?
I think I mentioned it already. Don't claim it. Don't own something that you don't want. And just know that if you treat a diagnosis of cancer such as like a cold or something that will ultimately go away, then psychologically you can get over the hurdle. You know, there's going to be some time where you're going to go through some tough times. There are going to be situations where something's going to remind you that you've been diagnosed. There's going to be something that will take place in your given day, week, month, or year that just makes you think, uh-oh, is it back again? And all I would say is that just don't claim it. Don't own it. Don't take ownership of it. You know, why would you want something that, you know, why would you take ownership of something that you don't want? And so that would be my encouragement to anyone is that if diagnosed, you can get through. Just give it all you got every single time, and you will be able to get through this thing. In the event that you don't, just know that you fought like hell to be able to get through it and just give it all you got. But that's the reason why, again, we are outspoken and vocal about raising awareness to cancer and cancer research and raising money on behalf of organizations, again, such as the V Foundation. It is so imperative that we are continuing to do this.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer Podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.